I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning and Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us here today at St. George. We are thrilled to see all of you. And I am just so blessed. I really do feel blessed to be standing in front of you today on one of the most sacred days in our year, celebrating the world-changing event of Christ's birth, hearing the beautiful Gospel of John describing the beginning of all things. It's kind of the overlooked Christmas story. We know the story about the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph in the manger, but we also get this reading from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. It's definitely my favorite Christmas scripture. And I think it's because, honestly, in the race to Christmas Day, in all of the hustle and bustle and commotion, sometimes we lose sight of what we are actually preparing for, what we are actually celebrating. What are we preparing for? What are we celebrating? We know something significant has happened. A meeting between the finite and the infinite has changed the way we see reality. And we memorialize it. We honor it. And it's perfectly good that we add pretty decorations and delicious food because the incarnation of God does need to be celebrated. It has changed everything. It means the theoretical has become real. The path between our head and our hearts has been made wide open. It is the central claim of the Christian faith, which is way more than a birthday party for a baby. It's a scandalous claim that God became incarnate. God became one of us so that we might know God's nature and God's love for us. Celebrating the incarnation, celebrating Christmas Day, is celebrating that we believe in God as Christians because we have seen God's love through Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Even though you could write a million different sermons from this one passage in John, and honestly, a million sermons have been written about this one passage in John, there is one message that shines through every single year, every single Christmas morning, and I want you to remember it. That message is, now there is no separation between us and God. Now there is no separation between God and God's creation. Through the incarnation of Christ, this eternal Word leapt down and took its place on earth in order to heal every bit of separation and rupture and disconnection that we experience as humans. One of the great theologians, Richard Rohr, he wrote that division and separation is the sadness of the human race. When we feel separate, when we feel disconnected, when we feel split from ourselves, from our family, and from reality, from the earth, and from God, we will be angry and depressed people. Because we know we weren't created for separateness. We were created for union. So God sent into the world one who would create that union, who would put human and divine together, who would put spirit and matter together. That is what we celebrate this Christmas morning. Merry Christmas. Now there is no separation between us and God. So how does this promise, how does this good news relate to us today, relate to each one of you sitting here today on this Christmas morning? How can we understand the story that defines our entire Christian faith in a more concrete way in 2024? What does the promise of Christmas mean to all of us as we contend with the multitude of problems that plague our world in the 21st century? What use do we have for Christmas this morning? I mean, what does the incarnation of Jesus mean to a person in a war-torn place right now? How does the coming of the Prince of Peace change the life of our healthcare workers or our social workers in understaffed and underfunded institutions? What does the promise of Christmas do to protect those who cannot afford the rising cost of living in this city? How is Christmas concrete to us today? And I think the words, be not afraid, The words, "be not afraid," that we hear over and over and over again in our Christmas story, is where we should start making Christmas more concrete. One theologian, Scott Erickson, he suggests that the words, "be not afraid," could genuinely replace the words, "Merry Christmas." That's how often we hear "be not afraid" in our scripture regarding Christmas. Maybe he's right. Maybe "Merry Christmas" and be not afraid actually mean the same things. "Be not afraid" is what God said to Mary when she was asked to carry Jesus. "Be not afraid" is what the angels said to Zechariah and to Joseph when they were delivered unbelievable news that changed everything for them. "Be not afraid" is what the angels said to the shepherds in the fields as the good news of God's glory was proclaimed across the skies. So when we say "Merry Christmas," we are celebrating all of our ancestors who responded to the divine call to be not afraid. And I think a message from the divine must begin with the words, "be not afraid," because it is shattering the security we have found in our limited and false and narrow human conclusions. A message from the divine is frightening, but in a wonderful way. And you know, in the beginning, we're not our puny fears. We're not our hopes and dreams. No, in the beginning was the Word of God. In the beginning, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us because of God's love towards the world. So if saying, "be not afraid," is just like saying "Merry Christmas," on this Christmas morning, I think that means the message of the Incarnation is completely tangible and completely concrete to us. It applies to all of our lives because it means we have a choice. We can choose to respond to the call to be not afraid. We can choose love over fear. We can choose unity over division. We can choose the way of life instead of the way of death. Be not afraid. That is how the message of Christmas is concrete to us in the year 2024. Choose love. Choose life. Choose what God wants for us. Answer the call. I am not saying that it is easy, but it is worthwhile. None of the characters in the Christmas story found it easy, but they choose to do it anyway. They choose to do it anyway. And honestly, we will often be afraid. That is outside of our control. But we never have to be afraid alone, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We are called this Christmas to choose love and to imagine new ways of embracing God's love and being creative in how we share this love. And don't worry, it feels like a lot of pressure, but you actually can't mess this up. Nothing you do or do not do will stop God from loving us so much that God comes into our world to save it. So why not try? Why not step out in faith? Why not do it just a little bit afraid? And answer the call to celebrate Christmas the way God has modeled for us in all of our Christmas stories. When we look back on the year, we can pinpoint so many moments of sadness and violence and hardship, but we can also pinpoint moments of great love, hope, peace, and joy. This mixture of emotions is our human circumstance. Incredible moments of compassion and care make the hard times a little bit easier, the loads a little bit lighter, and the gloom a little bit brighter. God's call to be not afraid is still echoing through our hearts and minds. Jesus' incarnation is still wrapping around us and pulling us closer to our Creator. This is not a story that happened once. It is a story that is happening right now still. This is for you, every single one of you. This is real. This is your story. God is with us no matter how we choose to celebrate Christmas. God is with us if we are struggling. God is with us if we are thriving. God is with us because there is no separation between us and God. So go forward rejoicing and remember that you are part of the story and you are called to be not afraid, just as the shepherds were, just as Mary and Joseph were, just as we are right here, right now. Be not afraid. Merry Christmas. Amen.